Every year at Mother's Day, I am reminded of what my mother tells me, so I'm just being obedient. If you came here looking for a flowery Mother's Day message, you came to the wrong church. We don't bend our preaching because the world designates a holiday. We celebrate mothers, and we love you, and we're grateful for you, and we're thankful for all that our mothers have done, but we absolutely want to honor God, amen. And so I was studying this week and had kind of this thought on my mind, and then I like to tell you there how my messages originate. I'd like to share that with you. Friday night we had a Sunday school teacher's dinner at Brother Dorsey and Miss Kim's house and had some good barbecue there, and thank God had some good coconut cake. Where you at, Wee-Wee? Where's that? I seen her here. She's in the nursery. Okay, well, praise the Lord, doing what Wee-Wees do. Amen. But she made some delicious coconut cake, and we were just having a good time fellowship, and Brother Dorsey did a devotion, and man, it just stuck with me. And I thank God that I have some preachers that will pour into other preachers so that we can hear and know and learn. Amen. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And so we don't come up with anything on our own. But I want to preach to you this morning on one little word, and that word is stand. Stand. Amen. Ephesians 6 in verse number 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. Lord, please use my voice as just a mouthpiece to proclaim your word. Lord, give me the ability to do so in your power and in your strength and in your might, as the scripture said, in the power of your might. God, help today. Thank you for all of these mothers that are in attendance. Thank you for their faithfulness to their families and their homes and their children, and God, all the things that they do that, Lord, quite frankly, wouldn't get done if we didn't have mothers. And we thank you, Lord, for them, and we thank you for how that you've blessed us so richly. God, I pray that as I preach today that some mother will decide that she's going to stand for Christ in her home. Some father will decide that he will stand. Some son and some daughter will decide that they will stand today. God, help. Give me the right words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage of Scripture encourages the believer to be strong in the Lord and to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, because of who and what we wrestle against, and those are the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness is what the Scripture says. And he knew that when we would wrestle against those things, that we would need spiritual protection. So God graciously supplied protective equipment for us to use to keep us spiritually well. Isn't it good that we got a God, some of you that work in the industrial side, God has provided us with some spiritual PPE. Amen. Thank God for it that we have that. If you go to a corporation that has people, you walk into some of these places, man, their workers will have on lime green vest and they'll have safety glasses on and hard hats, and there's not really even a thread of anything falling on their head, but they got all the equipment on. And if they take that equipment off, they could get excused from their job, or they could lose any ability to work, and just because they don't have that protective equipment on. And man, it's a serious thing. Now, if the world knows to take protective equipment serious in the workplace, how much more should a Christian, a child of God, know what we stand in need of to survive the day-to-day life? The apostle lists those protections and calls them the whole armor of God. And that is that our loins are covered by truth. We have a breastplate of righteousness that shields our vital organs from the attack. I mean, you think of a breastplate, it covers from the shoulders to the below the navel, and it covers all of the places on your body that could mortally wound you for a dart or a arrow or a spear or sword were to get thrust at you. And then to have our shoes on, the shoes that are the gospel of peace, to carry the gospel every place that we go, to have a shield of faith that we could quench those darts so that they don't make it to our breastplate that covers our vital organs. He's put double protection in front of us. Isn't that amazing how that God did that, how that He designed it? Or how about that helmet of salvation? Man, there are a lot of things that we think that are not correct and do not line up with salvation. Amen? And we have to change. Brother David said it Wednesday night. We have to change our thinking a lot of times. And the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation. That does not mean that we create our own salvation. It means that we are walking through this process of being saved and being sanctified and being secured in the Lord. That's what that's speaking of. And the apostle likens it to a helmet that protects our head and protects our control processor there on the top of your body. Amen. And then the Bible tells us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I remember when I was growing up, I could find a real good stick and I could turn that thing into a sword in a heartbeat. Amen. And even my youngest son, he'll get out there in the woods, and not so much anymore. He's getting more into a little bit older playing. He's graduated up to the Nerf gun. Somebody say amen right there. But he'd get out there when he was younger, and he'd find him a good stick, and before you knew it, he was a valiant knight riding a white steed across the way, and he was protecting the castle, and he was out there fighting. You're not the only young one. You're just the one that lives in my house to do that. You don't have to be embarrassed. Amen. And if I'm being real honest, your daddy used to do the same thing, except your uncle sitting a couple rows behind you used to throw rocks at me when I did it. So just be blessed that your brother was a lot older than my brother was than me. But anyhow, I could find a real good stick, and man, I could wield that sword with incredible accuracy. I could wave that thing and the foes would just fall away. Man, I was like the kid on the Christmas story. I could take care of all of them with one little weapon. Amen. I'll leave that there. Some of you just had some happy thoughts, and good for you. But anyway, I could do some incredible things, or I thought that I could. I'm not sure why it is that we Christians believe that we can fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life and never have any knowledge of the Word of God that is the sword of the Spirit that has the power to defend and to vanquish the foes that we face on a day-to-day basis. These are things that we need to stand for Christ. These are ours for the standing, for the using, for the place where we need to be and to get to where we ought to be. You will notice that I said, as I listed these things, nothing about protecting your back. I don't believe that God God ever encouraged us to tuck tail and run. I believe that He wants us forward marching on all the time and to continue to go so that you and I will always face the foe and not be vanquished by the foe and not be hindered by the foe and not be taken out by the wicked one and his fiery darts and his demons and minions that do attack us every single day and try and give us a weight and a sin that will so easily beset us. And then God gave us all of that, and on top of that, God has given us an incredible tool that is more powerful than anything you'll ever hold, and that is when the child of God bows the knee, when the soldier bends the knee to central command, when we get our orders, amen, and he tells us to continue on, and that is in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Thank God we have this that will help us stand. By the way, you will learn much better how to stand once you learn how to kneel. Your stand will become a little bit easier once you learn how to pray and how to get a hold of God and how to talk with the Lord. These things that I have listed to you today, these are what you need while you stand for Christ. But I would like to preach to you today about where, why, and when to stand. Not just what you need while you stand. I believe that every child of God, every Christian is well equipped. And you are in a place where you can absolutely get what you need from God and march on for the cause of Christ. I was just thinking, and I believe I'll include this in here, there is a guard that stands guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And you can go up there and you can view them at the changing of the guards. And it is a very solemn time, and they don't tolerate any kind of cutting up or any foolishness while they're there. They are guarding that. It's a very solemn and serious thing. It is a time where they demand respect. But as those soldiers change from one soldier to the other, they look at one another, and the one leaving says to the one starting, "Orders remain unchanged." All of these years, as long as there's been a guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier, their orders have been unchanged. I would just like to say to you, while you're taking your stand for the cause of Christ this morning, the orders have not changed. They are identical to what they were when you first started out, when God first called you out and you got gloriously born again, you got saved, or maybe God called you to preach or called you to the mission field or called you to teach or given you a task in the church. He didn't back up. He didn't change His orders. Amen. Orders remain unchanged. I'm having me a good time. Some of y'all never heard me this morning. You're sitting here going, "I don't know about this guy. He sure do scream a lot." You'll be okay. You swallow real hard, you'll get it down. I want to give you the where, the why, and when to stand. The first off is the where. I want you to stand on the solid foundation. Man, I want you to stand on the solid foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2 and verse number 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." Not only is Jesus the foundation, but He is also the chief cornerstone that is elect or selected specifically, amen, to carry out that task. Did you know that if the cornerstone is off just a little bit and the cornerstone is not level or not plumb or not right, the rest of the building will be incorrect. It'll be out of square. Amen. You get your line and you get that thing good and straight. You set down that cornerstone, and if that cornerstone is just an eighth of an inch past that line, by the time you get a foot out, you have done come over an inch and a quarter out of square. Y'all okay? Y'all, some of y'all going, "How did he figure that out?" And you're doing the math. I like fractions. There's one subject I was good at in school, and it was math. Amen. That's the only thing I was good at, but praise God, here I am. You get that cornerstone right. You get it true. You get it correct. You get it stationary where it's unmoving, and the rest of the building will be right. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and you can stand on Jesus. He's not going to move. He's not going to change on you. He's not going to go off some crazy direction. He's not going to take you off somewhere that's doctrinally unsound. Jesus isn't going to take you to an incorrect place. If you will stand on the solid rock, which is Christ, if you will stand on that chief cornerstone, if you will build off of that mark that He has set, friend of mine, Jesus will work a work in your life if you will build and stand on that solid foundation. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, I got my font just at that point where my glasses make it a little blurry and my eyes see it a little blurry. We're going to correct that when we get home. These young people's looking at me like, what? You folks that's like me got a little gray in your beard's going, yeah, I get it, preacher. I understand. Thank you, Brother Jack. Did I read Isaiah 28:16? I'm going to. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Proverbs 10:25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. And then 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Man, you stand on that foundation, stand true. Don't mar that. You got a bad block, you're going to get rid of that block. Amen? If you don't, you're liable to have trouble out of your foundation the rest of your time that you got the building. Let it stay with the Lord. Let me move on. I don't know enough about building to be talking about building like I'm educated about it. The where to stand on that solid foundation. The why you should stand. Because the world is moving and changing. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mama, you know what your children need? They need consistency. It happens in the world, but babies ought not have to wake up wondering whether or not mama's going to be there. Babies ought not have to wake up wondering, let's go ahead and hit them too, whether or not daddy is going to be there. And babies ought not have to wake up wondering whether or not mama's going to be in a fit of rage or be drunk or be off kilter or be in a place where she can't lead. Our babies are too precious. What we're bringing up, they need mamas that will stand on the Word of God and on the foundation of God. We need daddies that will stand on the Word of God and on the foundation of God, where our children don't have to worry about what kind of attitude mama's going to have this morning. Our babies ought not have to worry whether or not that something crazy is going to happen in the home. I get so irritated with this. One in five children in the school systems in Douglas County, 20% of the children, one in five kids faces food insecurity when they go home every single day. I know they're extenuating circumstances that are way beyond somebody's control, but mama, if you got food in the house, put it in front of the babies. You know I'm preaching right. Daddy, if you got a backbone and you're able to get up out of bed and you're well able to work, you ought to go to work. Amen. Talk to me about can't supply. As a matter of fact, you won't. You ought to get up and go to work. A little bit of hard work ain't never hurt nobody, amen? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The problem is that you work and you get this attitude in your mind, well, I ain't got what brother so-and-so's got. Who gives a rip? You're providing for them babies. They don't know that you ain't got the best truck on the block. Them babies don't know that you ain't got everything you've ever wanted. They don't know that thing, but they know whether or not daddy's at home. And they know whether or not daddy loves mama. And they know whether or not mama, you better amen me right here. They know whether or not mama loves daddy. They can see it, amen? They can see it. They know whether or not mama's in love with daddy or whether daddy's in love with mama. And when the home is in disarray, friend of mine, when it goes after the world, there's a problem there. You and I, as children of God, as families of God, men, women, boys and girls of God, ought to stand though the world moves and changes. Be steadfast, mama. Unmovable, mama. I'm going to pray. Your baby's going off the rails. Listen, it happens. It happens. That don't mean that there ain't no hope for them because the babies go off the rails. Somebody say amen right there. I know when you come down to that secret weapon that I mentioned a little while ago, you get on your face before God, mama, like little old Hannah. Your mouth is a-moving, amen. Ain't nothing coming out. Everybody in the world might think you're crazy, but you might just be raising up the next Samuel to walk on the face of the earth, amen. Thank God. Stand. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This group that says that motherhood is unimportant is blind. He ain't the greatest man in the world, but there was an old comedian years ago said, you work with your kid, you work with your son for all these years, and you teach him how to play ball or teach him how to throw the football, and you work with him, you take him to practice, and you encourage him on, and he makes it all the way, and he goes up into the NFL, and he plays, and the first time he gets on TV, the reporter says, you want to say anything to anybody? And he goes, hi, Mom. Motherhood is important. What you're doing, Mama, is important. This is the work of the Lord. Mama, it's important. This isn't a secondary position. This is a primary position. And them babies need you. And they need you to stay in this way and on this foundation that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand with God in His work. I can't think of any greater calling, Mama. I can't think of any greater calling than to mold and to shape them babies, to work with them, to teach them. I know you won't pull your hair out. And you might need to. You might need to grab a chunk and roll with it. Amen? But I'm telling you, what you're doing is important in the work of the Lord. While this world is moving and changing, the home ought to be steady and secure. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let me throw a timeout in here. That don't mean you don't never get a break. I'd come home from work. Our kids were little. I'd come home from work, and I'd think, man, I'm just so stressed out. I got all this stuff going on. I got this and that going on. I made a habit years ago, before I walk in my door, I would act like I was taking off a coat, and I would put it up on an imaginary pin by the door, and I was taking off my work coat, and I was putting on my dad coat, and I was getting ready to go in the house. But sometimes I'd walk in there, and I'd still have my work coat on, and I'd be trying to put my dad coat on over it, and Miss Tara would be in there, and the babies was little, and she'd done touched out, talked out, and husband out. And I'd walk in, she'd say, the baby's been fed. I'm leaving. I was like a little old man on the commercial. Don't leave me with the baby. And she'd go, she'd ride around. She'd walk around Walmart. She'd walk around Hobby Lobby. I don't know where she went. We didn't have Life 360 in those days. I didn't know where she went. she'd always come back home. And even as bad as them babies got on her nerves through the day, by the end of the day, she's ready to tuck them in and tell them how much she loved them. Mama, what you're doing is important. And daddy, sometimes mamas need some breaks. And they need a time to themselves, just like you. They need a little bit of relaxation. So you mamas ought to be amen to me, especially you younger mamas. Trying to help you ladies. Come on now. This world is moving and changing. Keep going for truth and right. Keep going. Colossians 1, 20 through 23 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 said, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Hey, be brave enough to be different from the world. Be brave enough to be holy in an unholy place. Be brave enough to be separate in an unseparated world. The world is moving and changing. You should stand. And then when should I stand? While the battle rages on. I think when the battle happens, that's the time that we want to lay down. When the battle comes, The battle comes every week. Every week the battle comes. Now at my house, it comes day by day. The battle's there. And every time that that battle comes, I need something to bolster me up, to help me. But even though the battle is raging, that's not the time to lay down. See, there's people that are dependent on you to keep going in the battle. Someone referred to me not long ago as a general in the army of God. No, I feel more like a private. We think, ain't that a blessing? It's okay. I promise you it's okay. Y'all look up here. I'm here. I love you. It's okay. Amen, yeah. Hey, I got a bunch of that going on at my house, ma'am. This morning, I got this one mean old rooster, that rascal crows. Time out. That's why I don't like daylight savings time. If the rooster crows before the sun comes up, we ought to get rid of that junk. Amen. Time in. That's why I reserve my timeouts. Don't have nothing to do with what I'm preaching on, but I can time in. Amen. While the battle rages on. Thank you, Barry. Matter of fact, Barry, come here. I know you don't mind being down in front of people. Come here, John. Come here, Chris. Barry, stand right here in the middle. Y'all get on either side of Barry. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to act something out. Wait a minute. They going to act something out. In the book of Exodus, we read about an old preacher that couldn't lay down on the job. We read about a man of God who was the friend of God that couldn't stop, because if he stopped, the battle went the wrong way. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 15 says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on top of the hill." Barry's going to be Moses. John's going to be Aaron. Chris, you're going to be her. H-U-R. It's a name in the Old Testament. We're not mixing no genders up in here. "And it came to pass," let's see how good Barry's listening, "when Moses held up his hand," put them both up, "that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy." Put them back up, brother. "And they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands." Lift them on up a little bit higher. He's like, "Wait a minute, preacher, there's limited mobility here. That's a lot of years of working on a dump truck. You better leave me alone, preacher."
Can we hurry
this up? Amen. Wait, the longer y'all hold it up, the better the battle goes. "Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out of remembrance Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." Y'all can put it down and go back to your seat. Say, "Preacher, what'd you do that? Well, you're going to remember that. You won't remember anything else I said today, but you'll remember that." And I'm okay with that, because Moses called that place Jehovah Nissi. God is my banner. That's what Jehovah Nissi means. God is my banner. And he said something about the battle. He said, "I want you to write it down." This is the first time in Scripture that we read where God tells Moses to write something down. And he says, "I want you to write it down in a book of remembrance." From this day forth, Moses kept a notepad in his pocket and would write things down. That's why we have the first five books of the Bible. And so he told him, "Write it down. And I want you not only to write it down, but rehearse it in the ears of Joshua." Now, why Joshua? Well, Joshua was the leader coming up behind. Joshua was the one that was watching Moses to see whether or not Moses would lay down or whether he'd let his arms. Because Joshua knew that when Moses' arms fell, that Amalek would start prevailing. But as long as Moses' arms stayed up, he would prevail against Amalek. Amen. And here is God working in a great and mighty way. "Listen, child of God, I know you're tired. I know you've been standing a long time. I know your arms are heavy. I know that there's a lot going on. I know the battle rages on and you want to let your hands down. Just keep them up. Just keep standing. Just keep standing." Moses didn't sit down. He leaned back on that rock and kept his arms up. And the battle raged all day long. And Aaron and Hur were tired as well. And yet they kept it going until the sun set that day. To the end of the day, God said, "Rehearse it. Rehearse it that God is my banner. Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. He's the banner that we wave. Thank God for this banner that tells us who he is." Moses, long as Moses kept lifted up, the Israelites prevailed. God was doing the work while Moses stood. You get that? It ain't you doing the work. It's God doing the work. All Moses did was hold his arms up. God was down there in the battlefield with Joshua, and he was just confident in them Amaleks as they fought hard and they watched that battle unfold before their eyes. Could you imagine as he stood up there, he was fully aware that if he laid down, Israel lost. Mama, Daddy, you lay it down, your family loses. You quit, your family loses. Pastor quits, the church loses. Sunday school teacher quits, the class loses. Friend of mine, stand. Psalms 20 and verse number 5 says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of the Lord our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Psalm 20 and verse number 7, just two verses down, says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some of you got your faith put in everything, but in the name of the Lord our God. And you trust in all that. I promise you, God's a trustworthy friend. And he will lead you even while the battle rages on. Psalm 60 and verse number 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. I think about Miss Betty Honey. Whenever time I read that verse, I think about Miss Betty Honey. And the reason I do, I don't know, she's going on to be with the Lord. Many of you knew this. I don't know exactly how many. Did you know that she was married three times, all three husbands died of natural causes. She dealt with the death of three different husbands. Three separate times she loved enough to marry, and three separate times she watched her husband slip off into eternity. She buried a son. She dealt with hearing inability through her life, spoke with an impediment where people would sometimes make fun of her and talk poorly about her. She told one person one time, I watched your mouth to see your reaction to my voice, and that would determine whether or not we would be friends later on, to see how you treated me in that initial meeting because of how I talked and how I sounded. But I don't think I knew a greater prayer warrior of God than that little lady. She'd be sore down in her back, and she'd come into church. She'd come walking in, rubbing her back. I'd say, you okay? She'd say, I'm fine. I love you, preacher. Smile, go and sit down. Every time I think about somebody having a banner, here comes Miss Betty carrying that banner. I'm tired. I've been through some things. I've fought some battles. I've seen the war. But I'm still standing for the Lord. Thank God for some saints of God that still stand. Wouldn't it be something if one day some little preacher stood in a pulpit in front of a few folks and said, boy, I remember when she stood. I remember how he stood. I remember that they kept going. I remember that the cause of Christ was worth standing for. And having done all to stand, they stood therefore. For all the reasons that they had to quit, they stood up anyway. Father, in Jesus' holy name, God, our church needs you. I need you. Help us, Lord, to stand. Help us, Lord, to continue. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us. God, I pray that as this time of invitation comes, Lord, that you would move in a great way. God, I pray that you'd pass over people's hearts, show them their need for you. Help us, Lord, to stand. In Jesus' name. You stand with me this morning if you're able.